listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
To go to newspapers. You want me to come to Minneapolis? I'll come to Minneapolis, but I think it's fucking stupid.
Maybe you can write your story on the drive up to Minneapolis.
This is a strange phone call.
Yeah, that was rough. You're right.
Click.
No!
What do you need? Stop wasting
time. I'm in love with you.
Some sort of warehouse. Riverside Holdings was the company. Where's my brother?
There, I got Vicodin.
You're driving, right?
Fucking am I? You have complete freedom to come with us.
No.
Giving away two tickets to tonight's Stars game. Things are about to start falling apart, buddy.
It doesn't even have to be dead. It's just, it can be any fucking form of...
But is that the whole thing we need? They just need all three kids. And there's about to be a fucking rampage in the McDonald's that Gaines just took her to.
Do we take Laura with us? Come on. Or do we leave fucking her with a cop... Who he doesn't know.
Fuck,
he's gonna
dude,
tell
maybe
Longo.
We should.
Yeah, fucking. Oh yeah, they had me watch the girl. Like he doesn't know that this is like top fucking secret. Don't tell anybody. It's just like guard this girl. Like, do we take Laura?
I think we have
to take Laura. Yeah. All right.
McDonald's stop. Oh, are they doing the Shamrock Shake yet? I don't know if
I
want to go.
I don't know.
Did you get one?
Yeah, I got one right before I came here. They fucking ruined it, dude. They give you the plastic straw, and I'm never like someone to like complain about that. But when it comes to like using it with a milkshake, does not work, dude.
Yeah, it's too small.
Doesn't work. It just breaks, and then I feel like I'm just sucking on paper.
Yeah, dude.
Wait, they give you a paper straw? Excuse me, ice cream?
It's so hard to use.
Wow.
Like, it's not a big deal with like soda, cause like you get a fucking milkshake, like. You're fucking breaking it and shit.
Well, that's why I like the way that Nifty 50s works around it is they give you a metal straw.
Yeah,
McDonald's would never
those
do that
bitches
shit.
Is thick.
Yeah, they got great milkshakes. He played the Hawaii Five-0 theme song. I'm gonna fucking shoot his.
Was that the
off.
Same game? What game did they say?
Stars.
That was Stars and Rangers that they were giving.
It wasn't Stars and Rangers that we listened to the other night. It was Stars.
Why is it not a Minneapolis team or a Minnesota team?
It is. Stars are.
Oh, the Stars were a Minneapolis team at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So could I please have a recap of the last session?
Use Laura as bait if she's with Lang.
All right. Shotgun pointed at your head. We're playing a game. I'm going to go around the table. I'm going to give you an NPC. You tell me good or bad. That's all you say, good or bad. Chup, Lieutenant Longo. Good or bad? No explanation.
No. Do you mean, like, in general, the person, or pertinent to, like, our case right now?
That's a complicated question.
Because I think Lieutenant Longo is generally a good person.
For this case?
I'll say good.
Alex, Greg Atkins.
You're asking tough ones, dude. Because it's not so black or white. But if I were to choose right now, I gotta say good.
Davy Jones, Finn.
He's good. He's good.
Aaron Lang.
Good.
We got four good guys.
Nope.
So there's some disagreement at the table. So which ones don't you guys agree on? That's what I'm curious about.
I know who it is. It's
Atkins
fucking Atkins.
Is bad.
I totally
bad,
get it.
Bad, bad.
Yeah.
No bueno.
Yeah, but like that's the
Por
difference
no bueno.
Between he's not he's obviously
thing.
A bad
he
person,
bad
but for the case right now he might could potentially be an asset.
Well, I like, so morally, how about that?
Morally, he killed his niece.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
And he, you know, yeah.
And he can't confess to his brother, even though he's telling us he's going to confess to his brother.
Right. If he had to go tell his brother something, what did he tell his brother? If he didn't, you know, give him the big news.
I mean, if he's being entirely truthful, everything since he kidnapped her and handed her off, I think he's been pretty good. Well, to be fair, would he have had this big change of heart if we didn't kidnap him?
Are you sorry, or are you sorry you got caught?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we easily could have killed him. He could have been anybody else in that, in the Golden King that could have died.
Yep.
Oh, imagine the story that fat dude behind the salad bar would have had. Did you have stuff written for him?
Yes. Joey?
Hey, Joe here. I didn't expect you guys to come out of Golden King with anybody alive, but they each had different stuff that they could do for you and information they could give you. I did not think you guys were coming out of Golden King with anybody alive. But each one, even down to, and I think the one that had the most information that would have been available to you and kind of given to you was Sergeant Albert Larson.
He was the only one that had to die, though.
But each one had different stuff they could give you, different stuff that they could tell you. But when I'm, you know, especially when we were playing it, I'm like, dude, there's no way they don't kill everybody. A couple good rolls to knock people unconscious definitely helped. So, in a fully loaded van, along with Greg Atkins, Davy Jones, and the good dog Sarge, the four of you find yourselves halfway to Ray's trailer prior to a radio giveaway ending. The four of you continue driving, perhaps in silence, as the Hawaii Five-O soundtrack plays and ends. What do you guys do?
Roy gives it like like he like hits the fucking dashboard. He's like, fuck, man. And he picks the radio up.
Gaines, do you copy? Cover Gaines. Gaines, we need you and your precious cargo to come to Ray's ASAP. Copy that. Could I get an address?
Yeah. I shout it out over.
Mm-hmm. En route.
Do we get to...
I'm sorry, everyone was like looking like back and forth at each other. That was kind of crazy. Yeah, eventually you do end up at your trailer. Nothing looks out of place. Nothing looks out of the ordinary. But you park?
Yeah, I park. I'm gonna sweep the place. I grab Sarge.
Yeah.
And I wanna, with my pistol, I wanna kinda sweep through my trailer.
Inside, outside?
Yes. And I wanna see if I can. I wanna kinda like hold Sarge's collar and kind of like not drag him, you know, like
yeah,
make him kind of walk very thoroughly with me through the space, mm-hmm. You know,
and you can tell that Sarge seems to be actively looking for smells as well, mm-hmm. Sniffing around. You successfully clear the house. Nothing's out of the ordinary. Nothing's awry, and Sarge doesn't give you any indication that there's something you're missing that he would have picked up on.
Okay. I want to step back outside. All right. Looks good in here. And wave everybody in.
Everybody enters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Davy Jones and Greg Atkins get out of the back, make their way up and inside. A few minutes pass before you hear a car pull up outside. Look outside to see a police cruiser containing Officer Gaines and Laura, who quickly get out and begin making their way up. Gaines steps in with Laura in tow. Looks at everybody, all six of you, and Sarge as well. What's up?
It's time to discuss. Let's fucking discuss, all right?
Just while he's talking, I want to paranoid, like very, very paranoidly, do another, like, check of my phone, you know, the like fan overhead,
right?
Like just again for any more wires,
deep dive, anything kind of listening devices or otherwise.
Okay. Yes, I become extremely paranoid at this moment.
Yeah, you guys see Ray kind of looking very, very intently around.
Seeing this, can I go up to the curtains, peek out?
Yeah.
See if Gaines was followed almost.
Roll search.
Fifty-nine.
Does not look like it, no.
Okay.
All right, we got 7 adults in this room. Is anyone opposed to bringing her?
No.
All right. We're going to... To me, we have no choice. So speak now or this is it.
Gaines speaks up. Where are you going to take her?
What's she doing? Is she playing with Sarge or something?
Yeah. Yanking on his tail.
She's in some serious danger, Gaines.
Where are you taking her?
We're gonna take her with us, and we trust you the most right now.
Where? Location, just tell me.
Minneapolis.
Okay, that's what I figured. You're driving her further into this thing if that's what you're gonna do. Worried about her being in danger, that is where the danger's coming from. Putting her in the den with the wolves. You want her safe. Sarge, look. I know that this case is this case. And I know that there's a lot of pressure from a lot of places, and some places you can't see. I got your back. And I know a handful of people back at the station that do too. If you want her safe, we'll keep her safe. Don't bring this kid there. Just because you got a death wish doesn't mean that you got to bring her into that too.
I'm sorry, Gaines. It's an order. We're relieving her of you.
Understood.
All right, you can go back to the station.
Takes a long look. Shakes his head. Turns around. Walks out the door, closes the door, and then the door quickly opens and he comes back in. We've all been working hard for you, for this case. You don't get to be paranoid with us. Not after all the shit that we do. You don't see it. You're off doing other things, and I get it. It's important. This is your case. All right, but we're supporting it from the bottom up. Just remember that. That's all. Turns around and closes the door and walks out.
What else do we need before we go?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Lara. You know what? Roy fucking says this. Does anyone else want to fuck? Jesus. Does anyone else want to talk to this?
Hi.
Hey, Lara.
I'm Lara.
All right, we got a...
Jerry just, like, turns his head.
We got a special field trip for you today. So, did Gaines get you your McDonald's?
Yeah.
good.
Good, good, good. Maybe we'll stop at a couple on the way.
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Open the door for her.
Whose belly was that? I heard that
was crazy.
One. I heard
dude.
That one. Who was it? It was one of you.
That was crazy. That was my throat.
What?
I do. I have that too.
That was my throat.
When like a burp doesn't, because I don't want to burp into the mic.
No one was even trying. That was just involuntary. My throat just made that noise. You're welcome.
Thank you.
She follows out.
Yeah, open the van door for her.
She gets in.
Sit shotgun. Done.
Can I hand Jerry my gun?
What's this for?
Take off my jacket, put it behind my head. Lay down.
Okay. Roll sanity.
Any advantage because I took Benadryl?
Nope. Well, yeah. You know what? Just roll it straight.
Okay. That's a 4 on a 31.
Wow. Sleep takes you. Where are you guys going?
I want to start the car or the van up, and right before we leave the property, I want to get out real quick, and I want to go back inside. I want to grab a couple treats for Sarge that I got. I want to put up like if I have a roll of masking tape, and I want to put it on all the like my back door. Like, kind of covered up, so like it peels. You know what I mean? Like the brake seal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to. I grab a picture from my room.
Okay.
That's yeah.
Gotcha.
I put it in my breast pocket, and then I want to, as I'm going out the front door, put a piece of tape on that, and then. Head back in the car. And
okay.
Off.
Back in the car. There's a decent amount of time when Ray's not in the car. Caleb looks like he's fallen asleep. Roy, Jerry, anything that you guys do. Laura seems to be quiet. Greg is quiet. Davy Jones doesn't say anything either.
I like taking my medicine.
Sure.
How you feeling?
Like shit. Nothing's changed. I can't imagine anything's changed for you.
That's right. You and me both, man.
Yeah. I ain't taking this fucking medicine.
You're not?
No.
Why not?
I have my reasons.
All right. To each his own.
There are too many ears listening right now.
In this very moment?
Mm-hmm. We'll talk.
Alright.
I don't origami. Like this at all.
I was gonna say he's gonna have a swan.
He just does the craziest fucking paper airplane ever.
Ray re-enters the van.
Nothing. You're not going to say anything?
Nope.
Wow.
If anybody didn't know, Joe just spent 30 seconds probably just ripping paper.
I'm doing my own thing back
Let
here,
him
man.
Cook.
Yo,
bro.
There's a reason you can't see back here.
Fucking God.
There's a good reason for it. I'm minding my own business. what are you guys doing?
Minneapolis?
Yep.
All right. I want to turn out, start driving. I want to take note of the eviction house on No Name Street that we pass going north, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the way back there, you kind of notice that blue tent that you saw the first time that you came back, not there anymore.
Caleb's sleeping.
Yep.
Last time We came around last night. I still had a tent outside set up. I think it's worth stopping or no?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
All right. Kind of rear off to the side and turn into the longer driveway, I guess, right? It was like a path back to that house.
Yeah. You planning on, like, investigating the house fully?
Well, first I just want to go up, to, like, outside. I don't have any plans of going inside immediately. I just kind of want to see, besides the tent, if there is any signs of, like, you know, a lot of action at the property.
So you make your way up that driveway and kind of, you know, do you step out to take a look around? Because not visibly, immediately visibly, there's not a lot of, like, disturbances or anything that you see that's kind of, like, very, very obvious.
Yeah, I want to step out then.
Okay. Making your way out, and you can see that there's no crime tape up, there's nothing like that, but the house itself, from the outside at least, doesn't look like there's been anything done to it particularly. You also don't notice any kind of tire tracks or anything like that on the lawn. But obviously where the bodies were that you saw before, completely clean, not even like stains in the snow or anything like that.
Okay. And I want to go over and investigate the guy that was like way off in the woods.
Yeah, so you kind of make your way up that trail up to where that rock outcropping is, and you can see that too looks very, very clean.
Head back to the van. Looks like they scrubbed this place pretty good. I mean, you think it's worth going inside?
I mean, I believe it. If they cleaned up the outside this good, I imagine they did the same to the inside.
Yeah. All right. Get in. Turn back up north. Start driving.
Gotcha. Nick, can you please hand this note to Mike Finn?
He's been nominated for.
Are you guys officially heading to Minneapolis? Any other stops on the way out? At this is kind of like the last call.
If we don't have binoculars, I pick binoculars up at the store.
You have binoculars.
All right. Oh, that's it.
Okay. Hitting the highway. Yep. It's going to be a long drive ahead of you. Any conversations that kind of happen?
Am I asleep the whole time?
Yes. You are asleep.
I don't wake up.
Something may wake you up.
Okay, like a bump, could I say?
Yeah.
Or like maybe like... Maybe like him shutting the car door when he came back in?
Yeah.
Okay. Like
kind of
for
rise,
a second, like
rises
in and out
you.
Of it. Yeah. Davey. You got a pen I could borrow?
Yeah, sure. And he hands you a pen.
Thank you. Thank you. Put it in like inner coat pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit back down.
Continuing on to Minneapolis, the roads are relatively clear. Time passes. At this point, we're looking at around 10 o'clock when you guys actually enter the highway going north. 10 o'clock, 10:15. Who's doing what, if you're doing anything at all? Jerry, I know you mentioned you're kind of intently watching Greg. Caleb, you kind of fall back asleep. Going and going and going.
Yeah, Roy's fidgeting with the radio. As we're, like, going too far,
mm-hmm.
I'm, like, switching between stations and shit.
Yep. 10:15, 10:30, 10:45. Any conversations that happen? 11 o'clock. You guys know the trip takes about 2.5 hours. 11:15, 11:30. 11:45. Remember I said this last time, if you guys don't interject and say, oh, we talked about that on the car ride, I'm not going to say it because you guys didn't mention it now.
All right, once we get to Minneapolis.
That spurred you into action, didn't it?
Yep.
Once we get to Minneapolis. What do we want to do? Because there's a few things that we can do from here. We can go right to the clerk's office. Is Caleb awake?
No.
No, yeah.
Went passed back out?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can go to the clerk's office, pick up the address, and then maybe we can drive to the address, scope it out. We don't plan on going in yet, but we just scope it out.
We don't even know we're going to get the address. Right?
Right. Assuming we get the address.
So absolutely. It's a gamble. If... First of all, we should go there first and try our luck.
Yeah.
If it works, yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on how close it is, I feel like we should go. If it's outside of Minneapolis...
Just ripping up paper the whole session long. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Still trying to check out Blue Coda, right?
We can check out Blue Coda.
I would like to do that.
That could be beneficial, but I think what would be more... Regardless of if we go to Blue Coda or not, if we show up to the ranch and we just start pulling triggers, it's going to be a lot harder to kill whatever the fuck we got to kill in there than if we chip them away one by one. I know what happened with Doug, but I genuinely think we know a little bit better on how to deal with Roger Ackroll. Look, I'm open to ideas, but I really think we just follow him home, and I look over my shoulder and make sure Lara's occupied.
Yeah.
And kill him in his sleep.
She's banging two shotgun shells together.
Kill him in his sleep. It's not going to be that easy, you know that, right?
Absolutely not.
At this point, Caleb, you wake up, and although it was a cat nap, you do feel well rested. So you're back to no exhaustion rules or anything like that.
Cool.
Nick, I need you to hand this note to Mike Finn. Mike Finn, this has a front and a back. Nick, it's written on, but yeah, there
I
you,
won't. I won't.
There you go. Good boy. Promise. Good girl. You're so good for daddy.
Pretty?
By the way, I know we established that we were looking for civilian clothes. I'm in civilian clothes, right? If knowing that I was going to walk in to the county clerk's.
Yep.
I'm wearing a Minnesota Stars jersey.
Let's go.
So I'm going to the game.
Sure. There he is.
So
I know he's picking me. I just know it.
He knows I'm special.
I know he's picking me.
I opened it up.
You see that written on your hand. The one side of the note.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I see that. I say, you know, it's not going to be that easy, right?
You wake up at that point.
Yeah.
Can I have my gun back?
Yeah. I hand it to you.
I pull the gun out and I pull it into Jerry's head and I pull the trigger. No, I'm just kidding.
He does it, but it's like the confetti comes out of the gun. It's like, gotcha.
Yo. I'm not even gonna fucking lie. You got me there.
Yeah, I thought you did,
bro.
I guess I don't know what these notes say.
Holy shit!
my hand just says shoot, Jerry.
Fucking god! Holy shit!
Crazy. No, I'm just kidding. I do ask for my gun back though.
I give you your gun back.
But I'm like, I point it at shoot, Jerry.
Yeah, I have no qualms about going in there myself, walking straight through the door and asking for the document.
Yeah, okay, good. Thanks, man. Saving us some effort.
I guess watch the door.
Okay. So, I also say to brief Caleb on what we talked about while he was sleeping about what we were going to do when we get there. Right, like after the clerk's office, hoping we get the right address, go check out the ranch, come back, and then try and sort out how we can chip away motherfuckers.
Okay.
I mean, we all heard the radio. He said we gotta file paperwork. If that's what this is, I won't be shocked to see him in there.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't think it's the best idea to go in there now. I think we have a lot more assets at our disposal.
Yeah, same here.
The road continues to stretch as you make your way closer to Minneapolis. At this point, you guys are about half an hour out. Half an hour becomes 20 minutes and quickly becomes 15. Take the exit to enter Minneapolis. You guys have the address of the county assessor's office. Where are you heading once you get into Minneapolis?
I'm heading to the county clerk's unless anyone says anything different.
I don't stop you.
Want to establish, this is county assessors and county clerks are two different things. Just to make that completely clear. So, I know it's nuanced, but it might be important, so I do want to mention it.
Would the county assessor work at the county clerk's office, though?
No, they would work in conjunction with each other, two separate offices. Which is, I think that's mentioned in the...
The note says, this is Sarah over at the county clerk's office, filing some information on behalf of the county assessors. So we're going to the county clerk's office
in order to, because they're working in conjunction with the county assessors. County assessors and county clerks are two different
things. Yeah, because that's, she said call back that number, that's the number I called back at. That's the, whoever answered that phone said they had that document at that place.
Yes.
Which would be the county clerk's office.
Correct.
So we are heading to the clerk's.
Yes. But I just, because we mentioned assessors and clerks, I want to make sure that we know that those are two different things. It's pretty close, actually, right when you take that exit. It's only two or three turns before you can get to the street that it leads to. Traffic does pick up, and you got to slow down and speed up. I want to mention, too, this van that you guys are in is almost identical to the one that you were in prior. Almost identical. Same color, same, you know, layout, all that kind of stuff. And eventually you do get there, the county clerk's office. There's a few cars out front, and you kind of got to pull out into like an industrial park, like an industrial complex where there's like a different bunch of offices set up, like eye doctors and offices and different kind of stuff like that. Eventually you do get to what you believe to be the county clerk's office. Several cars are kind of parked out front. Looks like a simple office building, kind of shitty stained blinds that you see covering a large window out front. There's a glass door.
As long as you guys can get a visual on the door, anybody walking in. I'm ready.
Yeah, we got your back, man. We'll be in here.
Get out with just a gun in hand. I guess it doesn't need to be my service weapon. In jacket pocket, concealed.
Copy.
Concealed, but easy to get to.
Alright, begin making your way up.
Yeah.
So you get closer to this glass door. It reads open with a small sign reading Hennepin County Clerks. Do you enter?
Yeah, what do I see through those glass doors? Is there a reception area?
Yeah, it looks like a small reception area, like a clerk desk window. Go ahead.
When he steps out of the car.
Yes.
I want to turn to Greg Adkins in the back.
Yeah.
And I want to ask him, do you know anything about Riverside Holdings?
No, it doesn't sound familiar. Maybe. Maybe? I don't know. Why?
I don't know.
I could have heard it before, but if I did, it wasn't super important.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I got binoculars looking right at the window door.
Okay. So looking through this glass door, you can see like this small lobby. There's a clerk desk, like I mentioned, kind of like a reception, but it's like that window desk, so you gotta kind of like step up, and they're behind a window. Also looks to be a waiting area, and you can see two women in there, kind of sitting in the chairs. One of them has a little boy alongside her.
Walk up to the desk.
Walk up to the desk. There is a woman behind there. She looks older, maybe like early 60s. Little name placard reads Judy Wolf.
Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hey, my God. Forgot my fake name.
Nobody tell him.
Don here, Roman had sent me, there was a piece of information for Doug Caliburn. He said he left it with you. Then I could just grab real quick.
Oh, yeah. I got it in the back. Just give me 1 second. I'm gonna go grab it real quick.
Can I roll human in on her?
Sure.
On a 61.
She seems genuinely friendly, and she seems like she's going to get it from the back for you.
Okay. Your face creeped me out.
She's being friendly. She's being nice. She gets up. Kind of walks out to the back there.
Is it like an open door that I can see?
Yeah, it looks like behind her opens up into a larger office, and you see her walk back and turn right out of view.
Can I look right and left? Is there offices?
Yeah, a couple. Mm-hmm. You don't see anybody else milling about back there.
Okay.
Is this movement visible from the windows outside of the building?
Nope.
Okay, just the door.
Yep. All right. And probably through the door, you can still see, like, the right half of Caleb.
Okay.
She's gone for 10 seconds, 20, 30, 45, a minute. Minute and a half. And then you hear footsteps. As from out of the back of the office, calmly steps a uniformed police officer. Minneapolis. Tall. Thin. Short crop of brown gray hair and a thick mustache of matching color. Twin silver bars on his uniform designate his rank. Captain. He has a folder in his hands as he says, "Hello.
Hi, how are you?"
"Good, good. You must be Caleb." "Roger. It's good to meet you in person."
Finally putting a face to the name.
Yeah. I just want to make one thing clear to you. I'm not like Captain Caliburn. I just like a second to talk, negotiate, and come to a compromise.
Say your piece, son.
So, listen, I know you think you're doing the right thing. I know everything seems, you know, kind of out of whack these days, but I'm here to tell you that we're not the bad guys you think we are, son. You've been duped, and I have a feeling you've been duped into killing a good man last night. So I know you came here for one thing, but like I said, you've been duped, and I like to use my words. So we'll start here. And he hands you a folder.
I put it down on the desk.
Oh, take a look.
Open it.
Roll sanity.
Another 4 on a 31.
Oh my God.
4 on a 31. We will jump back to that in a second. You guys outside. No idea that this is going on. Want to make that clear. You guys notice a figure with a backpack come out from behind the building and step up to one of the cars there. Looks like it's a truck, kind of like raised off, but like one of those ones with a covered bed. And it's not hard to tell. Looks like he slides underneath it.
Wait, like under the truck?
Yep. Hard to make out any distinguishing characteristics about this figure other than he has a backpack on and looks like he slides underneath a truck outside. Nothing looks alarming or strange about this truck. Just looks like a green truck.
So he's on his stomach if he has a backpack on?
Perhaps. But you can't see him.
And did we see which way, like, so did he crawl under, from the back, under the bed?
From the side, under the truck. Just kind of, like, slides to the side. And he's completely out of your view now, covered by other cars that are there.
I see this.
Yeah. Anyone who is actively watching the parking lot or the area outside.
I want to call that out. Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm kind of like looking from the back.
Like, yep. Totally just threw that on.
That's not good.
Caleb, you open the folder to see a picture of your mother sleeping with a gun pointed at her. You're going to lose 1 point of sanity.
Is it in my house?
Yep, in your home. Directly next to it is a picture of someone that you recognize, Roy's niece, April, sleeping in her bed with a gun pointed at her. Next one you notice is Jerry's wife, who you may have met in passing. Picture of her sleeping with a gun pointed at her. Last one is just a picture of the inside of Ray's trailer. So, again, I like to use my words. Here's the negotiation. Enough is enough. All right, you've done bad by us, but we're going to let it slide. That's the offer. There's no room for counteroffers. You made a mistake coming here. 3 times. And there's not going to be a fourth.
Can I ask? Duped by who?
Oh, well, the gangly man. Crazy wacko. Talks about parasites a lot. The guy who's doing all the killing.
That we can agree on. What'd you want with him, then?
See, this is the problem. This is the issue that we're running into. See, you won't leave it alone.
No.
You've had a chance to close it with the principal, which you didn't take, so I'm giving you the option to revisit that lead. See, here's the thing. You killed one of our own, and by rights, we should take one of yours, but we're not gonna. Okay? Because we're civil. You know what we're capable of. There's no more veiled threats. Drop this, or I will personally see to it that you and the rest of the VCU sitting comfortably in chairs while I personally skin everyone you've ever had the misfortune of caring about alive. And I'll turn that skin into things. And I'll make you whittle their bones to carve up the rest of them. I promise you that. That is no threat. That is a promise. That is an end goal. Drop it now. And that's it. You guys outside, you see the figure climb out from under the car with no backpack on.
How far away is this truck from us?
Pretty far down the line.
And where is it with respect to the building and the entrance to this office?
It is probably about halfway between you and the building.
Okay, so it's generally in like the middle of the lot.
I would say so, yeah. The figure goes back the way that they came, behind the office. Leave now, Caleb.
You think it's a bomb?
Yes, absolutely. Somebody needs to get out. And as soon as Caleb comes out of that door, make sure he does not get close to that truck. In fact, run away from it. We'll pick him up somewhere else.
Caleb, what are you doing?
I close the folder, slide it back to him. I don't think you understand what I want. You have this vision that all of us are aligned in this.
I don't quite care what you want, to be honest. You are a poison. And I have no room to make any additional allies. I have all the ones that I could care for. And I've seen your track record. Okay. I know about you, and I know about the other guy. So, we're good now. I know which one I'm talking to. You can't fool me.
No fooling. Just no. You had your chances too. It's not all so one-sided. But thank you. Thank you for this. Showing me who you are. But remember, you also had a choice. I push the folder so it falls off the shelf onto the desk. And I walk out.
Walk out. You guys see Caleb walking out of the county clerk's.
Would he be walking in the direction of the truck?
No, it's on the other side of the parking lot.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, it's fine.
I thought it was, like, right out front of the entrance.
Yeah. Caleb, you're approaching the van. You guys notice Caleb is empty-handed.
So the guy crawled out from the truck, and then where did he?
Back behind the office. Caleb, do you get in the van?
Yeah, I slide the door open.
Slide the door open, Caleb gets in.
How'd it go in there?
Oh, who's the other guy? Left-hand man?
Roger.
Roger, yeah. Threatened to kill all our families. You know. What'd you expect? He's in there, though. If we want to take him out now.
Are you serious?
What do you...
Of course he's in there.
What do you mean he...
Oh, he actually... I don't have a... He didn't threaten yours. I guess nobody to love loves you. Sorry how that works. The rest of you, though. Yeah, families. Me, too. Killing them, whittling bones. You know.
What do you mean? They're dead?
No, not yet. If we keep pushing. He knows everything. He's known, been three steps ahead. Like I thought from the beginning.
While you were in there, some guy crawled under that green truck down there at the other end of the lot and left a backpack under the truck, and then he walked back behind the building.
Skinny guy?
Was he skinny?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
We think that guy walked away because he's got a hockey game to get to?
The door opens, and out walks a figure that Roy recognizes, at least from two different places, both seeing him tailing behind Dan Winters as he visited, and also from Weiss Clay. Ray, you also recognize this figure as one of the persons who were in one of the developed pictures from the press conference. Mustache man, thin, tall, kind of receding hairline. He steps out, and he's got a briefcase in his hand, lights a cigarette, and begins walking towards the parking lot.
Is he walking towards the truck?
Ever so slowly, yes. He stops, ties his shoe.
I grab a rifle. I put a suppressor on the rifle.
It's a fucking suppressor. You think you have a suppressor?
Why wouldn't we?
Because you don't. Are you fucking insane?
Can
what,
I
you
roll
crazy?
Luck?
No. Police officers do not have suppressors. What do you fucking think you are, Sam Fisher?
I get a bunch of toilet paper rolls and I wrap duct tape around them. And
hold on.
Get a pillow.
If we put it against finishes it. Tying his shoe and begins to continue walking, talk over me, please, because I'm going to...
This is... If we can convince him we're going to save his fucking life right now, we can get something from him.
He's about halfway there.
How can we do that?
Three quarters of the way there.
If that's a bomb, I'll let him die.
Fuck it.
I'll let him die.
He opens the door. Gets inside.
What kind of car does he have?
It is a green truck. It's too far to kind of tell make or model, but it's got a covered bed.
Okay, fuck. We gotta tail him right now, right? He knows what fucking truck.
Boom! A resounding explosion. Your bodies tighten as a sharp explosion erupts from the car. A billowing plume of fire and black smoke, accompanied by an ear-ringing bang.
We gotta go.
A bomb.
Yeah, get out.
We gotta go.
Get out. Go.
Let's go. Fuck out.
Quickly, though. Just to describe it, the car bounces back to the ground as shards of metal and chunks of glass fall. Flames engulf the entire car in an instant. And you can see, as you are beginning to drive away, the passenger struggling inside. You begin to drive. Where are you going?
There was a passenger in the truck?
Perhaps. Two figures are wriggling inside of the vehicle. You notice that very, very quickly. What are you doing in this split second?
They're moving. They're not dead.
Do we?
The driver begins to try to make his way out of the window, falls, crawls out of the window, and lands on his back, completely engulfed in flames as he falls to the asphalt.
I pull up.
Should we make sure they're
done? A second explosion, which is quieter but larger than the first one, extends, sending a massive pillar of fire skyward, more than likely the gas tank. Quickly and with purpose, you guys notice, as you kind of pull a little bit closer, a figure come out from behind the office, same figure that you recognize placing the backpack, medium height and build, dressed in blue jeans and a blue denim jacket, moving with purpose very, very quickly, holding a bright red fire extinguisher, approaching the wreckage. What are you guys doing?
How busy is this parking lot?
Can't leave.
And where's Roger going?
There's a couple cars. Roger is unmoving, crawled out of the driver's side window, fell directly to the ground.
Roger?
Yeah.
That's the guy who got in the car.
Oh my god. I didn't think that was his fucking car. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was like on the other side of the parking lot just watching this with us.
No.
Anyone else under that impression?
No. I thought it was him that got blown up.
Yeah.
I don't know where you've been.
I mean, neither.
Damn. It talk to me quickly about what you guys are doing. This figure is approaching.
I want to try to get a look at this figure.
Yeah. This figure approaches, and as you kind of take a second to get a closer look, I imagine the scene here is you guys watching this fire, watching this figure approach. He's wearing blue denim jacket, blue jeans, and you guys are all like looking out the window. He leans down to spray the figure who crawled out of the driver's side. And you can see, standing there as he finishes spraying the extinguisher, looking over at you, smiling wide, RJ. He leans down, picks something up off of the body, turns around and begins running in the opposite direction.
I hit the gas. I chase after him.
Okay. He jumps over a fence, and you notice this. This is a concrete fence that he's jumping over. So he went behind the building. The way that the building is set up is there's going to be really no way to kind of get to him from here.
We need to confirm the other body.
Jumping over the concrete fence, he makes his way over and begins running in the back.
Yeah, I pull up to the bursted truck.
Back up. And you can tell, I mean, even now it's kind of like the adrenaline has kind of slowed down. You hear multiple car alarms obviously going out. And at this point, you can see some figures who came out from the office who are looking, as well as other people in other buildings in the industrial complex here coming out and looking. Approaching the wreckage, there is one thing that is clear. There is a figure who is here, who has been extinguished. You guys also noticed a figure in the passenger seat. But looking in, even as the flames are erupting and emitting this massive, massive wave of heat, there's nobody in the passenger seat. But you swear you saw somebody in there. Nobody else in that passenger seat. The figure who has been burnt, he's been extinguished, and you can see slowly, much the same way that you saw Doug, begins to melt away. Falling down from the sky, shards of ash and burnt paper begin to fall.
Did you ever get that address?
No, no, no. They were...
Do you think that the address is in that building right now?
I turn and I walk back in.
Do you?
Yeah. Is everybody kind of out of that building?
It seems to be, but as you are walking, your foot steps on a piece of paper that is burnt, and it catches your eye.
I get out of the car to follow him, by the way.
Yep. You stop, and you pick it up, and then you notice another. And another. And another. Paper that is falling from the sky that seemed to have been the contents of whatever was either in this car or on this person. The explosion sent it rocketing upward, and now they are falling from the sky gently in the breeze. Roy One lands at your feet.
Choking. Sorry.
Thank you.
Oh. And two more land between the two of you as well. You hear the people over at the county clerk's office. Somebody call 911! Somebody call 911!
We're just reading burnt papers.
That's crazy.
I get out and kill all the county clerk's office workers.
Big ups.
Just want to shut them up real quick.
Are you guys genuinely standing there reading these? I want to ask.
That's fucking crazy.
I want to ask.
No.
Okay,
no,
all right. So then stop reading them and tell me what you're doing, because we're not wasting time. What are you doing? You stop reading that. You put that down. Oh, Alex,
actually,
put
you
that down.
No, I read the first one that fell at my feet. The first one.
Okay.
That I caught under my foot.
Sure.
And I read the name on there of a North Star State Enterprises.
Okay. And what do you do? What are you guys doing?
I want to walk through the front door of the assessor's office. Is everybody kind of out?
Yeah, everyone's like staring and gawking.
I'm sorry. As he's walking in, I'm like, wait. And I show him this one.
Mm-hmm.
I know Alex and Mike Finn can't do anything with it.
Not recognizable to you.
Can I walk back? Do they have just like a room of files here?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Can I start looking for North Star State Enterprises?
Holy shit. Are you really doing this?
Yes.
All right. You begin going through the files there looking for a North Star State Enterprises, and you do find one. You find a business filing for it.
Grab it quick.
Very, very easy. You grab it.
Anything under Dan Winters.
You kind of thumb through and you do see one for Dan Winters, particularly one thing that seems to mention private donations.
Okay. And then Caliburn I keep wanting to call him Beach Ackrell.
Okay, there's nothing there under those.
Okay,
two.
Then just grab those files and walk out.
Okay, and as you're walking out, somebody says, do you work here?
No, I just...
Get to the phone, call 911.
Okay. And I run out into the main lobby,
uh-huh.
And I go, oh my god, and I just walk out the door.
Okay, all right. What are you guys doing, Jerry and Ray?
I'm keeping my eye on Atkins, personally. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Atkins, Laura, and Davy Jones are still in the back.
Yeah, I want to, I want to try and pull up to Roy
no? Yep.
And kind of... You know,
You guys start to hear sirens.
I fucking stuff this shit in the van. I'm not even in the van yet. Mm-hmm. I imagine windows down. I just start stuffing this shit in the van.
Okay.
I turn. I'm like, did you get what we need in there?
I think so. This van should not be the fucking scene.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. What is the guy that used the fire extinguisher? Where's he at? Is he gone?
You recognized that person as RJ. I mentioned it.
Fuck.
Where have you been? Oh my god.
Yeah, he hopped the fence.
He's gone.
Oh my god.
You know Bobby Tillman was a pedophile, right?
No.
No.
He was a good man.
Holy shit. Oh. Alright.
You have a niece.
No. Bullshit.
Horse named
I never
paper.
Had sex. No.
What?
What does that have to
Wait,
do
what does that have to do with having a niece?
Where are you guys going? We can talk about all this stuff in a second here. I just want to know where you guys are going.
We gotta go down where RJ's going.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, about maybe 10 minutes has passed.
I want to do this quicker.
Five minutes has passed.
We should get, if there's cops coming, we should get the van away from the scene. But slowly, not like you're peeling out. Just normal driving.
Yeah, I just peel out.
And headed a random direction.
We gotta go towards RJ's.
I turn out of the place, but... whatever direction would be towards the back of the building, you know, like okay. that way.
Yep. Yeah. And heading up that street, which looks like a main road. And you guys are driving. You guys begin pulling out, making your way up the street. No sign of RJ or anything like that.
Can I start to look through the North Star and see if I can match up any of these papers, like if there's copies of what was in this folder?
Yeah, so that North Star Enterprises record actually has a couple of interesting things in there. If I could find them for you. Yes. So, North Star State Enterprises is a real estate holding company that's based in Minneapolis. No listed headquarters, but three listed properties based on a 1970 audit.
Let's go.
Can I pull out my, I'm assuming I brought one map at least.
Sure.
98th Street, Aseo. Does that point me to a Golden King?
Seems to be the general area. This map doesn't have listed businesses, actually. But yes, that looks almost exactly the area that Golden King was in.
Okay. I know what the first one is. What about the general area of this last one, this 5000 South? 27th Avenue.
It's kind of on the other side of town. You're not sure.
Does it seem like it's in like a densely populated area?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, the first one's... I think that's 404 North. That was...
For our listening audience, can someone please explain to them all of the props that I've handed to you?
Wait, so is this...
Yeah, that's that.
Okay.
All right, I could try to give this a try. So, part of the burnt paper and one of the burnt papers that we got the whole thing of is a full document of North Star State Enterprises.
That one is actually the file that you took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
on
yeah.
On North Star State Enterprises, yeah. Yeah.
And that shows the three business holdings with various assessments of their value. First one's the 404 North Washington Ave. Believe that is, I can't remember.
Golden King?
No. The nightclub. Where
Blue Coda.
Blue Coda. Second one seems like Golden King. Third one, address in Minneapolis. We don't know. However, that happens to be the highest valued one. That is one of the papers. There seems to be another paper here that's two parts of one sheet, it seems like. Burnt, and I guess I'll just read off the bolded parts of this. Private donations totaling close to $250,000. All the bold parts are a little jumbled. It's not like full sentences here. FE and Forest Conservation FU. Looks like another Minnesota Timberland MBROFA, Linwood Falls and the Mississippi River, estate holding company, real estate holding company, the real was on another line, Minneapolis, Riverside Holdings, Pittsburgh, local assessor's office, property owned by Buffet, Golden King.
Additionally, along with those burnt files that you were able to get your hands on, you took two folders from the clerks. A folder on Dan Winter's private donations, as well as a folder on North Star State Enterprises. Which yeah. I've kind of given you all the contents of North Star State. You also have that folder on Dan Winter's contributions.
I do want to go through that, but first the last piece of burnt that we got was a map. And it looks like it's a pretty big area showing different elevation changes. This doesn't look like this isn't like city blocks, right? Because it's all these different elevation nope. changes. It's wildlife. There's a big hole burnt in the middle of it. But it looks like a map. With one marking of Bell Chester.
I looked through the maps that we have. Do we have any maps that are like... outskirts of Minneapolis on us.
Yeah.
I want to run through it with this on top and see if I can get some kind of match, and also look for Belchester.
Okay, you begin trying to do that. Right. Anything else that any of you guys do or say during
can
this
I open
time?
Up that Dan Winters?
Yeah, Dan Winters. So you would know that there's a law regarding private funding of donations, kind of so particular donations need to be made public regarding particular members of the government, such as a chief of police, in order to try to have it public in case there's any kind of people who are funding elections in particular. So this details Dan Winter's private donations. You kind of go through, and it's pretty quick to tell that it looks like over the last 5 years, Dan Winters has made substantial private donations totaling $250,000 to Southern Minnesota Wildlife and Forest Conservation Fund. That's all the information that's given there. It's like $10,000 here, $15,000 here, so and so.
The whole time RJ had it, I'm assuming the map we found in his car, Southern Minnesota. I don't know what that narrows down for the search, but hell. Do I have a map of that?
Yeah.
Would I be able to find a Belchester in there?
In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, as the last trumpet sounds, for the trumpets shall sound, Belchester. 45 minutes outside of Linwood, nestled within the Zumbro Falls. And that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.